Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying tale is about this detective in the country of Canada and the vast murders that are not done by bullet or by knife, but by claws. And perhaps by the hint of someone or something sent. Now let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. I've seen some crap in my line of work, but I don't think I've ever seen anything quite as brutal as the murder of James Calum. When they called me in, 9 times out of 10, it's just an animal attack. Vicious, but never malicious. When animals kill, they do so because they're hungry, or they're scared, and I know how to recognize the signs. I know better than most, actually. With Calum, though, there was genuine malice. This wasn't an animal attack. No, this was a werewolf. There wasn't a doubt in my mind about that. This man had been hunted down. 10 kilometers outside of Hamilton, he had been knocked off his motorcycle and dragged into the woods. He probably tried to fight, but he couldn't have stood much of a chance. I've seen an adolescent werewolf shred a bodybuilder into confetti, and the bodybuilder couldn't do a damn thing about it. Calum's right arm had been torn out of the socket. His face had been slashed so as to tear open his left cheek, exposing teeth. The werewolf had bitten into his throat, ripping through vital arteries and severing his windpipe. His neck was broken. I imagined that this was from the werewolf shaking his head after it bit down. His shattered skull was only still attached by a few flaps of skin. All of this damage had probably been done within the first 10 seconds of being dragged into the woods. Werewolves are quick and effective killers. If it had just been this, I may have let it be. But there was much more. Calum had been dragged deeper into the woods, away from prying eyes. I'm sure he was still alive for the first few seconds of his trip. It takes a while for the brain to completely shut down. If he had lived any longer than that, he would have died when the werewolf tore open his ribcage to get his vital organs. They weren't trying to eat, although his heart was mostly consumed. The gesture seemed to just make absolutely sure that James was dead. He had been gutted and torn in half. His skull had been crushed in the powerful jaws of his killer. His torso had been ripped open in two, and the half that contained his head was impaled on a tree branch, like a crude display. It was all deliberate. There was intelligence and hatred left behind every memory of violence left behind on that carcass. I don't know what Calum did, but the evidence suggested that the werewolf was not very happy with him. And it was my job to find out why. There aren't a lot of detectives like me. In fact, as far as I know, I'm the only one in Ontario, and there's at least 15 of us in the country. People don't talk about werewolves very often. It's better to keep that sort of thing quiet. If people knew that werewolves were out there, they may not take too kindly of it. What do you do when someone takes everything you know and turns it on its head? Accept it? Reject it? Or, true to human nature, try to kill it? I think the answer is obvious. The people in the loop keep their knowledge of werewolves quiet because if they didn't, a lot of good people would be in danger. Everyone always assumes that werewolves are monsters. Some are, but not all of them. No, most werewolves are more or less normal people. Chances are you've met a few. There are no distinguishing traits. They don't act like dogs or stand out in any noticeable way. Take me, for example. My name is Howard Kellenchuk, and I'll admit it. I'm a werewolf. Some say that lycanthropy is a curse. I don't agree with that. I know I'm not a monster. I'm just a man with a condition. When the full moon comes, I change. And when I change, I hang out in my basement. I lay on the couch and watch TV until I change back. Exciting, right? But it's really no different than what most dogs at home do. Sometimes I'll indulge my baser instincts. There's something about a wild run through the woods that ignites a primal fire in my soul. But I am not a monster. I do enjoy hunting, but I confine that to deer or other wild game. Nothing that upsets the natural order. Teeth and claws are a much cleaner way to kill than a gun, that's for sure. I can safely say I've never harmed a human that didn't already have it coming. As a cop, I made a point to stay on the right side of the law. Werewolves who don't either get a silver bullet or get put to sleep. I view my lycanthropy as a part of me. It's nothing to be worried about. It's just a thing that I am. And I do admittedly use it to my advantage when I can. There are very few werewolf cops, and those of us who exist are specially equipped to assist the rest of the force with any suspicious animal attacks. I can smell the wolf on the victims, I can identify the bite marks, and I can help figure out who is responsible. Werewolves are not exempt from the justice system. They're just harder to catch. When I got the call, I wasn't expecting the death of James Calum to be anything more than a simple animal attack. Tragedies happen all the time. Looking at the crime scene, though, it was obvious that it had been a werewolf. This was almost textbook. The brutality, the familiar smell of another wolf, all of it was a dead giveaway. "What do you think?" asked the officer in charge of the crime scene.
"Maybe it was a bear."
He was a younger man with blonde hair and steely eyes. His name was Delaney. I didn't catch his first name. He didn't know who I was. I just needed to flash my badge and say that I was with the Animal Attacks Division of the OPP, and that was more than enough. "A bear this close to Hamilton?" I asked, and shook my head. "No, I think I've seen all that I need to." I turned to leave, and Denali followed me.
"Hey, are you sure? Don't you need to do an autopsy or something?" he asked.
I just shook my head.
"There's no need for that. The cause of death is fairly obvious. I might stop by the coroner's later if I need to take another look."
Delaney looked confused for a moment before nodding.
"Right. Okay then."
I walked back to my car and left the crime scene behind. I had snapped a few pictures with my phone, mostly of the layout of the crime scene and the bite marks. But the local police would gather most of the evidence themselves, and I would refer back to that later. Since this was a werewolf attack, it only made sense to start looking for a werewolf, and I knew just who to talk to. The Bulldog Pub was the werewolf hotspot in Hamilton. I always thought that it was weird that they called it the Bulldog. I would have thought that they would at least pick some sort of wolf pun, but for some reason, Adrian Dermaski decided otherwise. I suppose it was inconspicuous, at least. Adrian had no official authority, but every community of wolves had an alpha, and werewolves were no exception. Perhaps in days gone by, the alpha was determined by strength. These days, though, it was all about the community.
Adrian owned the bulldog. He did the most for the Hamilton werewolves, and for that reason, he was the alpha. The bulldog did look different than your average downtown bar. It was never too busy, but never really dead either. The second I walked in, I caught a young couple in a booth staring at me. I could smell the wolf on both of them, and gave them a reassuring nod. They nodded back, and their attention returned to their spinach dip and conversation. I strolled up to the bar and spotted a familiar youth.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Wore a Pokemon t-shirt and looked at me with noted awareness. His hair was dyed electric blue, and his eyes had a shifty look to them. He looked like a mess. "Morning, Alex," I said softly. "I ain't done nothing, officer," he said. His tone was disagreeable. "It told me to leave, but I have business to attend to." "Then maybe you should fix that and move your ass," I replied. "I'm looking for Adrian. Is he here?" Alex grimaced for a moment, but finally managed to nod. "Out back," he said. "In his office. You got an appointment?"
"I've got a badge," I said, and moved past him, headed for the back.
"Oi, he's busy!" Alex called after me, but I didn't pay him much mind. I'd been to Adrian's office before, and it did not take me long to find it. The door was unlocked, so I let myself in and found the man at his computer. He looked up at me, his eyes somewhat surprised. But if he had anything to hide, he didn't show it.
"Howard?" he said warmly.
"Well, well, this is a surprise. Business or pleasure?"
"Business, I'm afraid," I said. "We've got a body."
Adrian's smile faded.
"What? In Hamilton?"
"Yep, a motorist saw a bike on the road this morning. They stopped to investigate and found the remains of one James Kellum." I took out my phone and brought up the picture of the deceased, prior to his mauling, of course. Adrian studied it for a few moments, eyes narrowed.
"Recognize him?" I asked.
"Vaguely," Adrian replied. "I think he came in a few nights ago. I was working the bar. I could smell the blow on him. Figured he was looking to sell."
"What happened?" I asked.
Adrian looked up at me and I could see him hesitating.
"There was, let's say we got into a disagreement. I run a clean establishment, Howard. I'm not letting some frickin' lowlife sell blow to my wolves."
"How bad of a disagreement?"
"Maybe some shouting. I may have told him to get the F out before I ripped him in half."
My eyebrows raised at that. Adrian didn't miss it.
"Suppose I don't have to ask how he died," he said. I didn't answer that.
"So, aside from you, did he piss off anyone else?" I asked.
Adrian thought it over for a bit.
"I didn't see anyone else giving him shit. I recall him talking to Elena before I stepped in. She left before the screaming started, though."
"Elena? Elena Knight?"
Adrian nodded before cracking a small smile. I tried to ignore it. It wasn't exactly a secret that Elena and I had history together.
"You want her address?"
There was some mocking in his tone.
"Suppose I need it," I said. You want me to just send Alex over instead? I'll be fine.
Adrian whistled and reached for a sticky note on his desk. He scrawled down the address and handed it over to me.
Between you and me, I doubt she's still mad at you, Howard.
She's not the one who should be mad, I replied before taking the note and pocketing it.
Thanks for the help, Adrian.
Don't mention it. Keep me in the loop when you find the guy who did it. Even if he's a killer, I want to be there when they put him down. Poor bastard deserves a friendly face.
No malice in his tone. I suppose I understood that.
James had been a drug dealer. He was hardly an outstanding citizen. Murder is punished by death amongst werewolves. I had seen it happen plenty of times. You could argue the sentence. If you could prove it was self-defense, or you had no choice, they'd usually let it slide. But this had not been self-defense. This was a clear-cut murder. Even if the victim had been a real piece of crap, I'd still be sending a wolf to their death, and the gravity of that was not lost to me. I hesitated before knocking on Elena's door. How many years has it been since we had seen each other? 5? Longer? Last I had heard, she had turned her life around and gotten clean. I was proud of her for that much, although I'd never say as much to her. What would she look like? Would she be mad at me for leaving her? I'd be lying if I said she had never once crossed my mind in the past few years. Before she started using, she had meant the world to me. Ultimately, that was why I'd left. I couldn't watch someone I loved dope themselves to death. I knocked on the door and waited quietly for her to come. The door opened, and I saw Elena's calm blue eyes peering back at me.
Howard?
Her voice was light and airy, like a gentle summer breeze.
Hey, I managed to say.
Long time, huh?
Yeah, it's... Did you want to come in?
I nodded, unable to find the words. Elena looked good. Her skin was radiant and healthy. Her golden blonde hair spilled perfectly over her shoulders. She was just as beautiful as I had remembered. More so, perhaps. I stepped inside, still admiring her, and I caught a shy blush on her cheeks.
So, what brings you back to Hamilton? Oh, did you want a drink or something? I'm sorry.
No, it's fine, I said. I won't be staying long. I'm here on business. God, what an awkward attempt at conversation. I could barely make eye contact with her.
You look good, Elena, I said.
Thanks, she replied.
I thought I caught a slight whiff of cocaine from her, but I didn't say a word. I wanted to ask about this man, I said, James Kellum. I reached into my pocket and showed her the picture. Elena stared at it and seemed to take a moment to collect her thoughts.
I've seen him, she said, at the Bulldog a few nights ago.
Did you buy anything off him?
It sounded accusatory, and I immediately wished I could have taken it back.
No, I don't do that anymore, she said and paused. Although he did offer, and he did some himself. I said no, though.
This was at the Bulldog? I asked.
No, it was here,
she admitted sheepishly.
James was a smooth talker. I only ever saw him on that one night. He left in the morning. I told him I didn't use anymore. He asked me if it was okay to have a top-up, and I said, I said yes.
I watched her carefully. I couldn't tell if she was lying, or just embarrassed to admit to her ex that she had another man over.
He stayed the night? I asked, and she nodded hastily.
Yeah, he did. I haven't seen him since then.
All right. I tried not to dwell on those thoughts of her and James together.
Going back to the night that you two spent together, did he get into any other disputes? I heard he got into quite a row with Adrian.
He did, but I didn't see it, Elena replied.
Before that, he was mostly talking to me. I got the impression that he was a little obvious, actually. I didn't think he knew much about the Bulldog or its usual patrons. He was just a cute hustler looking to sell.
And that's it?
That's it, Elena said. Adrian was the only one who really got on his case. I suppose he smelled the blow. And from what I've heard, Adrian really went off on him. She thought about it for a moment before adding, I think Alex was following us on the way home. He was watching James pretty closely before Adrian got involved. He always had an attitude on him, but this time it seemed a little more intense.
I nodded. It wasn't damning evidence, but it did make me consider returning to the Bulldog or the morgue.
I got the call while I was on my way to the morgue to examine the body a little closer. Maybe I'd be able to pick up a scent or something. I was a little surprised to find Delaney on the other end of the line.
Hope I'm not disturbing you, he said. Thought you might be interested in something we found, though.
I might be. What is it?
A couple of things. We found some traffic cam footage of James's motorcycle that you should see.
And the other thing?
Just come down to the station, Delaney said. It'll be easier just to show you the footage.
I turned my car towards the station and headed over. He had my attention. The morgue could wait.
Delaney was waiting for me when I arrived. We just did a quick...
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Search for the plates on that bike, he explained as we walked through the station. Figure it might tell us something. Looks to me like it did. He led me to his desk, where his computer waited for us. I recognized an intersection near the highway on the screen. Delaney sat down behind his desk and started the video. Awfully considerate of him to have queued it up for me. So, we see James pass by here, he said as the video played. Sure enough, I spotted his motorcycle with him on top of it, and another person, a woman by the looks of it, clinging to his back.
When was this taken? I asked, as Delaney paused the video.
6 hours before the body was discovered. About 3 hours prior to the time of death. Keep watching, though, it gets better.
He started the video up again, and I watched as the lights on the intersection turned yellow. A truck started to enter it, only to be cut off by a second motorcycle speeding to catch up with James.
They're in a hurry, I murmured, and watched as the bike sped off towards the highway.
What does that look like to you? Delaney asked.
Looks like they're trying to catch the light.
Did you look at the bike?
Delaney rewound the video, and slowed it down as the second bike drove past.
Same make as James. Might just be a coincidence, but I'm thinking it might not hurt to check it out.
You might not be wrong, I said.
Delaney paused the video as the rider was driving past. I could see dark hair flowing out behind the driver and spotted a skull patch on their sleeve.
That could be our killer, Delaney said.
What about the other girl on James's bike? I asked.
There was no sign of her body at the crime scene.
That's what I was thinking, Delaney said. Possible witness, perhaps?
Perhaps.
Can you make out the plates on that bike? Let's run them, see what we get.
Delaney leaned in closer to the screen before reading off a plate. I wrote it down on my phone. and thought about giving Adrian a call. If the second biker was our killer, then she'd have to be a werewolf, and if she was a werewolf in this town, Adrian would know her. He had to.
"Skullpatch, huh?" he said. Over the phone, I could read his face, but I had a feeling his brow was furrowed.
"Doesn't ring a bell. Not a lot of biker sorts in Hamilton."
"What about the surrounding areas? London, Mississauga, Guelph, Vaughan?"
"There's no werewolves in Vaughan," Adrian said.
"Guelph, yes. I could give the Alpha over that way a ring. Can't promise you much, though. You think an out-of-towner did this?"
"I'm exploring all possibilities," I replied before hanging up. I turned to go back into the police station when my cell phone rang again. I answered it unthinkingly and paused when the dispatch on the other end of the line told me that there had been another body. The apartment complex was on the more run-down side of town and was just about the last place I'd ever expected a werewolf murder to occur. This time, the victim was Jim Brayley.
"I've dealt with this a-hole before," Delaney said as we walked into the apartment together. "Can't say I'm sad to see him go."
"What did he do?" I asked.
"Kitty Fiddler. Thinks he's some hotshot internet personality because he's on YouTube. He plays video games and supposedly asks underage girls to send him pictures. Kinda a shut-in, honestly."
Getting upstairs, we found the corpse in the apartment hall. Jim laid against the wall in sweatpants and a female body inspector outfit. His eyes were half-lidded and his throat had been torn out. But there was no other damage to his body. Unlike James, he had not been torn to pieces. An apartment door just across from his had been knocked off its hinges, and I could see the other officers inside. My gut told me that this wasn't a related crime, but all the same, I crunched down to examine the body.
"Someone must have really hated him," Denali said, and his eyes narrowed when he saw the fatal gash in his throat.
"Doesn't look like a knife wound, though. Looks like..."
"A claw," I said.
"You hear anything about witnesses?"
"A little. The way the officers on the scene told it, the old couple a few doors down heard a lot of banging, followed by screaming. They came out here to find this mess."
Delaney nodded towards the door.
"That his apartment?" I asked.
"No. It belongs to some girl named Carla Glick. She's not home right now." I walked into the apartment, looking around quietly. The inside was a mess, but more importantly, I could smell a wolf. One of them had been here, and recently. There had clearly been a struggle of some sort. I paused to look at the glass door leading to the apartment balcony, and drew closer to it.
"Was this open when we found it?"
"Nothing's been touched since we found it," Delaney said as I stepped out onto the balcony. It was just a two-story drop to the ground below, not too bad of a fall.
"Was Jim in the apartment?" I asked.
"Could be he and Clara had a dispute of some sort. He comes in, she throws him out and kills him, then runs."
"And knocks the door off its hinges?" Delaney asked. "She must be the frickin' Hulk."
I didn't mention how easy it would have been for a werewolf to tear that door off its hinges. I envisioned their massive dark shape emerging from the door and ripping Jim's throat open. They could have made it down the hall and been long gone before anyone could get a look at them, too.
"Hey, Kalinchuk, get a look at this," Delaney said, tearing me out of my thoughts.
I looked back to see him holding up a leather jacket with a familiar skull patch on it.
"Recognize this?" he asked.
It was the same one I had seen on the biker who had been following James.
"Well, that's interesting," I said softly.
"I suppose it is," Denali replied, and gestured for me to follow him. He led me over to the kitchen table, where two cups of spilled coffee sat on the table.
"Looks like she had a guest, probably our stiff."
"Probably," I murmured, but I wasn't so sure. Assuming this was the same killer, which I wasn't fully convinced it was, they had been violent with James. They had torn him to shreds,
With Jim, it had been quick, rushed perhaps. I thought about where his body was, out in the hall and slumped against the wall, like he had been cowering.
"Shell casings," Delaney said, and crouched down by the table. "Someone fired a gun in here."
He looked up at one of the nearby officers. "Hey, can we get a bag for this?"
"The old couple did say they heard banging," I said. "Could have been the gunshots. No gun, though."
I found myself looking at the balcony again. Someone could have easily jumped from there. They could have made it to the street in seconds. A smart werewolf wouldn't have followed them. To do that, they would have meant running into the street and exposing themselves. No, they would have gone out the door, and either gone to the roof or changed back to the stairwell. And if they had gone out the door and found a bystander, well, assuming Clara was the wolf, she had already killed once, and clearly she had already been trying to kill again. What use would a werewolf have for a gun after all? Claws are a much cleaner and more satisfying method of killing. And who would want to shoot Clara, unless they knew what she was? Unless they had seen her transform and seen her kill. James had had someone on the motorcycle when he had been killed, and that woman had probably seen everything. Of course, it would only make sense that Clara would try to tie up loose ends. I called Adrian again as I left the crime scene.
"I've never met any Clara Glick," he said. "You think she's unregistered?"
"It's a possibility," I replied.
"You sure you never saw a woman with a skull patch leather jacket and the bulldog before?"
"Pretty sure. I could ask Alex if you'd like."
"Do it. Let me know what he says."
I saw Delaney coming out of the apartment, and he gestured for me to come over.
"I'll call you back, Adrian," I said and hung up before going over to join the man.
"What did you find?"
"Got a hit on Clara's license plate," he said, "just now."
He named the street, and as he did, I felt my blood run cold. He had named the street Elena lived on. Delaney and I sped towards the apartment as fast as we could. My heart was racing in my chest as I wondered how the hell I'd missed this. Adrian was diligent. His community was tight-knit. They would have noticed an unfamiliar werewolf.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
It would have been damn near impossible for one to be living in Hamilton that Adrian didn't know about. As we parked in front of the building, I got out first. I spotted Clara's motorcycle parked nearby. She was already here.
"I'm gonna need you to cover me," I said.
"On it," Delaney replied and started to follow me into the building. I stopped him.
"No, just stay here. I don't want you getting hurt."
"You just said to cover you. I can handle myself," he replied indignantly.
"I don't doubt that you can, but this isn't normal police business. You gotta trust me, all right?"
He stared at me intensely.
"What are you talking about?"
"Tell you what, when I walk out of this, I'll tell you everything over a drink. But I need you out here. If anything comes out of that building that isn't human, use it."
I took my gun from my belt and offered it to him.
"I've got my own," he said.
"Not like this, you don't. If you see anything, anything at all, if it's not human, your gun isn't gonna do jack shit against it, but mine will. Just trust me, okay?"
I could tell that Delaney didn't understand. The why of all this was way far beyond him. I imagine that my insistence meant something to him, though. He took the gun. Fine, but you owe me an explanation when this is all finished.
I promise I'll have one, I replied, before I left him on the street. My heart was racing as I ran down the hall towards Elena's door. I didn't know what I'd find, and I didn't know what to expect. I could see her apartment door was open, and I was just feet away when I heard the gunshots. Three of them.
No!
I cried, before bursting into the door. I was greeted by the sight of Clara Glick, standing over Elena's body as the blood pooled around her head. The gun rested in her hand, trained at the body of the woman I had loved, and Clara fixed me in a wild glare.
Back off, she warned, raising the gun to aim at me now. Back the F off right now.
All right, let's just calm down, I said. I held my hands up to show her that I meant no harm.
Calm down? Clara asked.
She laughed humorously. Her eyes were frantic and wild.
Calm the F down? No, F no. You didn't see what I frickin' saw. That witch, she's not frickin' human.
I remained still and stared into Clara's eyes. I saw a familiar, unfocused fear in them.
You saw her transform, didn't you? I asked.
You're damn right I saw her frickin' transform. I saw her drag my frickin' man off his bike and ripped him into frickin' pieces.
Then this frickin' bitch shows up at my place to kill me next. F no.
So you got to her first, I finished. Clara bit her lip before she gave a single stiff nod.
Yeah. I frickin' jumped her. She's frickin' dead, right? These things can die, right?
I looked at the gun in her hand, then back up at her.
Well, it depends, I said. Did you use a silver bullet?
A silver? Clara's eyes widened, and as they did, there was a low growling beside her. I could see her trembling as she looked over at Elena, and watched as her body began to shift and transform.
No!
She stumbled back a few steps, taking aim and firing her final shots into Elena's body as the change came over her. Elena wouldn't die, though. Not when the beast was awoke.
Run!
I tried to say, but Clara didn't listen. She remained rooted to the spot in fear, a dark stain growing from the crotch of her jeans, and her gun aimed at Elena as she impotently pulled the trigger over and over again in the dumb hope that she could stop what was coming. Elena lunged, and I could only watch as Clara's skull was caught between her jaws. I could see the look of absolute terror on her face as Elena bit down. Her legs jerked frantically. Her final terrified scream ended in a sickening crunch. The gun fell from her hand, and Clara died whimpering as Elena crushed her skull like a walnut. She viciously shook her head, decapitating Clara before sinking her claws into the woman's ribcage and ripping her in half with a wet snapping noise. Elena howled in fury and looked at me next.
My heart was racing. I had stared down angry wolves before, and even if it was Elena, this was no different. I held up a hand, trying to steady her.
Elena, calm down, I tried to say. My voice was shaking, and she didn't give me a chance to say more. One powerful arm dashed me across the wall, and I hit it so hard that I left a dent. I collapsed onto the ground, and my world went black. When I awoke, Elena was gone. I slowly picked myself up off the ground, groaning in pain as I did. I could still smell her, along with the smell of Clara's corpse. My ears were ringing, but I was as awake as I could get. I could hear other tenants in the apartment building talking, no doubt investigating all the noise. But there were no screams and seemingly no other bodies. I needed to find Elena. I needed to find her before she hurt anyone else. I caught her scent, and she was close.
But where? I took a few steps forward because my shoe hit something. I looked down to see a large plastic bottle of sleeping pills rolling away. I didn't think much about it, and ran out into the hall. I headed for the stairs. She wouldn't have gone down. Too much risk. The only place she could have gone was up towards the roof. It would be easier to escape or to hide. So that's where I went. I burst into the stairwell and tore up the stairs, heading for the roof. I could smell Elena. She had come this way. She was close. As I reached the doorway leading out onto the roof, I threw it open and stumbled out. I expected to see a hulking wolf waiting for me. Instead, I just saw Elena. She changed back, and her clothing was in tatters. She sat peacefully on the edge of the building, her legs dangling off oblivion, and she looked back at me when she heard me approach. "Hey, Howard," she said softly, as if she hadn't just put me through a wall. Her voice was low, scared, and almost... "Chizo, what have you done, Elena?" I asked. "I suppose I effed up," she replied. "Well, what else is new, right? I imagine they'll put me down for this." "You killed 3 people." "Yeah, I guess I did," she sighed. "Are you gonna sit with me?" "I've got to take you in," I replied. "I'm sorry, Elena." She chuckled. There was no humor in it. "I'm not going to fight you, and you're not going to arrest me. I don't think that's really necessary right now." "What are you talking about?" I asked before I remembered the sleeping pills. My heart sank. "Elena, no!" "They'd put me down anyways," she said. "The thought of that always scared me, you know? Dying like that in a cold, sterile environment? Just one needle and then you drift away. I think I prefer it like this." I approached her slowly before sitting down beside her. She leaned her head on my shoulder. "Why did you do it?" I asked. "It was an accident," she said softly. "James was sweet. I needed a fix, and I could smell it on him. He offered to sell me some, and I said yes. I fell off the wagon," she said. "He said that he had a friend outside the city. They were having a party, and that we could go and get messed up. I thought, what could possibly go wrong?" "I suppose he didn't mention Clara," I said. "She knew, if that's what you're asking," Elena said. "James took me outside the city and we got high. Then she came with the gun of hers and she shot me. I woke up under a pile of dirt. No wallet, nothing. I got scared. I turned and I wasn't thinking. I was so hurt and so angry, James. He just tried to murder me. I caught his scent. I tracked him down and..." She sighed. "I won't pretend I did not enjoy it. He got what he deserved." "And Clara?" I asked. "I thought she'd have my things, but instead she just panicked. Jumped out the window. I got scared and thought that she would tell you, so I ran. Well, you know what happened to the man in the..."
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hall, I assume. I came here and thought I could pack up and get out of town before anyone found me. But then Clara showed up and... God, I really got myself into a mess, haven't I?
You really did, I replied, and held her close.
For a few moments, we were silent.
"Do you think I'll dream?" Elena asked for a while.
"I don't know," I replied.
She sounded sleepy. I could feel her body getting weaker.
"I hope I dream," she whispered. "Maybe I'll dream about how things could have been.
That'd be nice."
"Yeah."
She buried her head in the crook of my neck, and I could feel her warm tears on my skin.
"I'm sorry, Howard."
"I know."
I let her sob quietly as she faded. I held her until her body went limp in my arms. Consciousness left her first. Then her breathing slowed until finally it stopped. Elena slipped out of my arms, leaving nothing but another corpse behind. Like I promised, I told Delaney everything. He sat in his booth drinking his beer in silence, barely able to believe what I told him. I wasn't all that surprised when he asked me for proof. I had to take him out to the woods and show him. I don't regret that decision, though. With the kind of life I live, it's nice to have people who understand, who knows what you are. Besides, after what happened, I needed a friend. As imperfect as she was, I did love Elena. I paid for her funeral. It was a quiet affair with just myself, Adrian, and Delaney. She didn't really have anyone else. Sometimes I'll visit her grave. I won't pretend that she was a good person. She was broken in ways I could never fix. But she was still the only woman I had ever loved. Sometimes I'll think about how things could have been. I wonder if maybe I was wrong to leave her, if I could have helped her get herself back on track. Maybe I could have. Maybe she was doomed long before I ever entered her life. At the end of the day, behind the beast, I'm only human. So was Elena. Some say that lycanthropy is a curse. I'm not sure I agree with that because some days, I think I'd rather just be a beast than a man.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.